Hey, welcome back to Switchcast. We are live with you here Wednesday, as we are every week, and we appreciate you being here with us to share this evening. I'm your host, Doug Tabbitt, and Switchcast is the automotive-related podcast where we are searching for the truth and the humor in the car industry. If it ain't true, it better be dang funny. Tonight, we have a special episode. It's both more special and less special. It is less special because our official supplier of banter, Tyler Sanders, is not here with us tonight. He was unable to make it, so we will hopefully have him back with us next week. And it is more special because I have my friend Daryl White here with me tonight. He is a trucker extraordinaire, one of the good ones in the trucking industry. And the trucking industry is certainly one that we have talked about a lot because it is the Achilles heel, the bane of my existence in the car business. And that's saying something because used car dealers are pretty terrible, right? Truckers are worse. It is literally, quite literally, trucking and arranging transport is the most difficult part of my job. It is the place that I have the most had the most controversy, the most issues with customers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow, this is making me feel really good right now.
It should make you feel really good because in that, I have learned that it is, number one, not worth it to save a couple hundred bucks on any transport. And number two, it is well worth it to pay what is needed to use the guys that you trust. And we've developed a database of people over the years that we just say, okay, we're just going to call them. We don't use brokers. We never, ever, ever, ever use brokers at all under any circumstances. The last time one of our customers used a broker and we said, no, we don't use brokers. And the customer said, yeah, no, it's fine. I've been using them for years. It turned into a big issue and the car got damaged during transport and everybody covered it up and we got blamed for it because it couldn't have possibly been the transporter.
Never the transporter's fault.
Never the transporter. Anyway, all that to say, in order to make my life easier, I've surrounded myself with people like Daryl.
Thank you.
Make you feel better?
I feel better now. I can sleep tonight knowing you think that well of me. That's nice.
But Daryl has his share of stories as well. He's seen it all because he's been all over the country. How long have you been in the business, Daryl?
I've been in the transport business for over 20 years.
Okay.
In the actual trucking business for over 40 years. So I've done this for quite a while.
All right.
So, yeah, I've learned a few things here and there.
I also want to note that Daryl was here at my shop at 5:15 p.m., which is exactly the time he said he would. Now, I have a saying. I call it whenever a trucker says they'll be here at a certain time, even the decent ones, I say, yeah, is that trucker standard time?
It's trucker standard
which
time.
Which is plus or minus 3 hours / maybe 2 days.
2 days, yeah, at least. So,
I'm not going to attempt a stereotypical Eastern European accent, which is what we hear. But when they say they're going to be here at 8 o'clock, I'm like, all right, so like 10?
Yeah, I get that a lot when I pull into someplace that I've not been here before. You speak English. Yes, I do. Sometimes quite well, sometimes not so well, but yeah, I speak English.
Hello, I'm driver. I have car.
I've done that before. How do you do? I have your car. No, that's not a good thing to do.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I've seen so many different things. Like I told you earlier, I've seen trailers pull in more duct tape than metal. The last time I delivered here, oh dear God, my son was with me. We pull and unload.
Caveat, I know where this story is going. We didn't hire this trucker.
Oh, okay.
We didn't. A customer said it.
Okay.
Continue with your story.
I forgive you for that, but this poor guy pulls in. And he asked me, first of all, can I use your ramps? No, you cannot. I'm sorry. You'll have to find your own. And then I look at his roof that was peeled back where he went under an underpass too low. So half of his roof was flapping. And there was duct tape hanging off of it. The hole in the side of the trailer. I shook my head and think, please, this is what's going up and down the road. This is what gives us poor transporters and truckers a bad name. Oh, dear God.
I have to reiterate. We didn't hire him.
I believe you.
He showed
I believe you.
On behalf
because
of
the look
else.
On your face was like, oh, God. Oh, that's my car inside there. So I felt bad for you. My son was laughing. We couldn't stop laughing.
It made it here okay.
Yeah.
It made it here okay.
Oh, that's good.
I have to ask you this, and this is a good segue, right? We have a few pieces of EV news tonight. We're going to cover them very briefly. But What do you think about the, I guess, two-part question, the autonomous trucking industry that Tesla's working on and or EVs, you know, EV semis?
EV semis, I'm not a big fan of any type of thing, EV. One, I cannot transport them. If something would happen in transit and there was an issue with the battery, it overheated and it would start to catch on fire, the fire department, you call them, they can't put the fire out. They have to let it go. They can try to get close to it and put a blanket on it, but they put themselves at risk. So if they order me to transport one of those things, I just can't do it. It's not worth the risk or the reward.
So you don't transport EVs at all?
Nope.
Okay. Okay. What about, how do you feel about EV semi-trucks? Are they practical? Will they work?
No, they're not practical. We're regimented in the trucking industry on time.
Okay.
So we're allowed to drive, you know, 11 hours a day, 14 hours of on-duty, 11 hours of that of driving. But you take that all into consideration, the loads that these semis are transporting are 40,000 pounds. With the EV semi, they can only travel a few hundred miles at best before they have to stop and recharge.
Mm-hmm.
That creates an issue with the driver's time restraints. So that puts him at risk driving down the road. I've got to hustle to get to point A to point B or find a charging station.
You know what? Here's what I'll bet they'll do, right? Because the government wants EVs to work so badly that they're putting financial incentives for people to buy them when the market won't support it.
It's like the Ford
Lightning.
They'll
probably change the regulations for EV truck drivers and change their reset times and stuff like that and say, oh, well, it'll be safe because you're driving an EV. So if you have a 30-minute or an hour charging reset, then we'll take that off your...
I've seen that in the industry before. Take, for instance, RVs and the RV industry. They have the strongest lobbyist in Washington. They can drive almost unlimited time because they're transporting a recreational vehicle. They're not under the same umbrella that we're under.
Hmm.
So that's a little different. So it depends on the lobbyist and depends on what the government wants to push.
Now, I thought these rules were in place for safety.
Well, in some aspects they are. It depends on who is writing the rule book at the time. So you have to take all that into consideration.
Mm.
So trucking is not as cut and dried as you would think.
Got it. If you are watching with us live, we appreciate you being here tonight. We always appreciate interacting with you. And if you have questions, please put them in the comment flow and Ethan will screen them and send the best ones over. But speaking of EVs, we have just a few quick hits here. Tesla Cybertruck. A lot of people are complaining about the quality on them, but that is not dissuading the secondary market. That's right. A Tesla Cybertruck sold at Mannheim auction last week for $244,000. That's like double the sticker price. So, yeah, people are paying big bucks for these things, I guess, just for the status to have them first. It was actually a Porsche dealer that bought that, and so they're then marking it up again, and it's on their website. I don't know if they've sold it since then, but they're being flipped for big, big money. A Tesla Roadster, Elon Musk announced that the Tesla Roadster the new Tesla Roadster, which I think he started 7 years ago. Was it 2017 pretty or 19 that he announced it? And it's the only one I've seen is sitting in the Peterson Museum, and it's a prototype. But apparently it's still coming. Wait for it, everybody. This is like the Lexus LFA. It's taking so long to come out. Anyway, the new Tesla Roadster that hasn't even been produced yet will do 0 to 60 in less than 1 second.
Whoa.
Yeah. The same amount of people believe that as the amount of people who need that. Precisely zero.
What about your eyes? They're going to take a little bit of heat with that. Once they get back into focus, you're in deep, serious trouble.
I didn't think about that. Literally moving the eyes to the back of your head.
Dragsters suffer through that. Ay, ay, ay.
It just goes back to, like, who cares? No, just make the car. Get it to production. We care
way
more about that.
Where are you going to use that speed?
Exactly. Exactly.
I've got to go get some bread and milk. I'll be right back in 3 seconds.
Yeah. We already have Mustangs going into crowds with like 400 horsepower. Yeah. And you're going to have this? Like, you know.
Yeah.
You're going to be hitting crowds a zip code away. Yes, Volkswagen had some of their new EVs at Amelia Island on display.
Oh, did you see the van?
I did see it.
Isn't that front end kind of funky looking?
It looks kind of nice. Cool. Yeah.
I went to the auto show. There was one there.
Yeah. I mean, but they're EVs, so I don't really care. But the good thing is that their EVs hopefully won't come under, well, they have zero emissions, so they won't be able to do any emission scandals like they did with their diesels and Dieselgate. But if they did, what they'd call it?
What are they going to call it?
Electric fence.
Electric fence.
Dieselgate, electric fence.
I get it.
Okay.
Nice.
Anyway, on that note,
wow.
Let's go to a commercial and then we'll come back for some crazy stories from the transport world with Daryl.
Thank you.
Switchcast is brought to you by Boxcast. Boxcast is a live streaming company based in Cleveland, Ohio, and they serve broadcasters and viewers around the world. Their founders launched Boxcast back in 2013 with one purpose: to make people part of the experience. If you're looking to live stream your podcast, church service, car show, sporting event, wedding, or even your cannonball attempt, Boxcast is an easy, flexible live streaming platform for organizations. Boxcast is so easy, in fact, we're broadcasting this show with a phone. Head over to switchcars.com/Boxcast for your free trial.
All right, we are back here. If you're just joining us, we are here with Daryl White, retired trucker extraordinaire, and he's got some stories. So one of the stories you told me at dinner was pretty funny. We were talking about just clients in general and some of the high maintenance stuff you had to deal with. And you told me a story about, going above and beyond with a golfer's wife.
Oh, yeah. My wife always would tell me, just deliver the car. So I have to sleep at night. So when I take a 500 horsepower Ford Bronco and turn it over to a 20-something girl in 6-inch heels, leather pants, and a crop top, says I have this under control, I get a little nervous. So I offer to give her a driving lesson to explain everything about this Bronco. Now, she's used to push-button start, as she's used to a push-button transmission. So I said, do you really understand this Bronco? Yeah, I've got this. I can handle this. So I proceeded on my way back to my transporter to go take care of business, put my straps away, put my door up. It took probably about 15, 20 minutes, and I looked back. The vehicle hadn't moved. So they knew we had a problem. We had an issue. So Princess, sitting in her car, I walk up the door. She was very much a princess. I said, can I help you? I don't need help. I said, well, I see the car hasn't moved. Do you understand what we're going through here? And she says, no, I'm having trouble getting it in gear. I said, I would be more, will you please step out so I can show you real quickly? I don't mean to intrude, but I want to be able to sleep at night because I don't want to put this vehicle in your hands not knowing how to drive it. Fine, if that's what you feel like you have to do. I got a lecture. So as she gets out of the vehicle, stomps around to the other side of the vehicle, I said, as you see the steering column looking at you, on your left-hand side, there's a switch. You can go up and down. Down, you make the left turn signal come on. Right makes the right turn signal go on. I knew that. I said, okay, on the other side of your gear shift, that's what it's called. I said, you pull in, put your foot on the brake, and it has P-R-N-D. You know what that stands for. She's looking at me like I'm talking Swahili.
What color was her hair?
It was blonde.
Unrelated.
I'm not saying. No, okay. So when I proceeded to tell her exactly how to drive, put your foot on the brake, pull it forward, and go down one to reverse, down to neutral, and then to drive. Take your foot off the brake. In this car, as much power as it has, will start to creep forward very lightly, as I will show you. Put your foot on the gas. It will move forward. And you hear the roar of the engine come to life. She looks at me. That's it? Yeah, that's it. So I took her around the block, and I stepped on the gas. Tires started to go a little faster than they were. Pavement was allowing it. She's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. She was yelling. I said, now I'll take you back around and let you have the vehicle. Fine. I knew how to do this. Okay. So I left the vehicle in her hands, said a little prayer, thank you, in the way she went. But yeah, well,
the rest of the world thanks you for that.
Yeah. Well,
because she's probably going to be trying to do Instagram reels and stuff from the driver's seat.
Honest to God, I could just see her pulling in here. This is my new car. It was a turquoise 1977 restored Bronco with a Ford Coyote racing engine in it.
Oh, gosh.
So that's an accident looking for a place to happen.
Oh, gosh.
With an inexperienced driver.
That's one of those things where, like, you wonder how people run into the front of Starbucks restaurants.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
exactly how they do those type of things.
A blonde chick in a 500 horsepower resto mod that misses the brake pedal.
Yeah.
Or can't figure out how to put it in park.
Yeah. In her leather pants stuck together. It was bad. It was a recipe for disaster.
You know, it's funny. You said that your wife tells you, what'd she say? Like, you're just a trucker. Just deliver
Trucker.
Right?
Just deliver the car, collect the check, and leave. I can't do that in good conscience, leaving a Porsche, a Ferrari into someone's hands that they shouldn't be behind the wheel of any type of vehicle of that type.
I think my wife needs to tell me, or should tell me every night, that you're just a used car dealer, not the automotive ethics police.
It's my wife reminds me on a daily basis. You're just so I can sleep better at night since I'm retired, but I do miss the people. I miss those type of incidents. And I told you before about a lot of these people want their cars delivered at 5 PM. Why? So everyone in the neighborhood could see the shiny transporter pull up with their nice looking Porsche or their nice looking Ferrari and think, I've made it. And the neighbors are going, oh, wow. So I get that a lot. It never ceases to amaze me.
Okay. Do they at least, this brings up an interesting question. Some people ask me about the, not the ethics, but the industry standard etiquette. That was I was looking for. The etiquette of tipping truckers, right? We're in a tipping world where they just spin that screen around and expect you to tip for everything now, and it's a quandary, right? I like the Dwight Schrute rule, right? I don't tip anyone for things I could do myself.
Right. Right. Understand.
But it doesn't work so much in America. So with truckers, good truckers, is tipping expected? Is it appreciated? What's the rule?
Some of my
there?
Clientele, I mean, you're looking at cars that, you know, are $500,000, and you're taking their precious little jewel, their dream car, and delivering it to them. So I tell them, you know, and try to relate, I'm delivering your dream to you. So in some part of our communication along the way, I said, I know this is your dream car. I'm bringing it to you. So I'm building up a case for extra gratuity at the end. So you have to be smart enough to do this. So I get down there and I said, you know, I have taken extra precaution with this car. I've tarped it. I've covered it. As you see me getting in with my sweatpants and, you know, soft material, and I put the blankets down the camera. I mean, I'm building up a case like you haven't seen. I feel like a lawyer. So I'm getting in this thing, pulling it out there, and I said, wow, it's a lot of work doing this, but, you know, this is your dream car. And most of them are like, they're following for, I only have $300. Is that enough? I'm thinking, yeah, that'll work for me. Thank you very much.
You're such a smuck.
Thank you very much. That's why I can drive nicer cars, thank goodness.
Yeah. So, I mean, from a dealer standpoint, I told you on the way here, we don't tip our truckers because, I mean, we've got dozens of truckers delivering every month.
And it's, you know,
for
expected.
Us, it's a business transaction, right?
Like, absolutely understand.
This is a cost. We factor the cost in. If it's a fair deal, it's a fair deal. But at the same time, like, I think if somebody was delivering my dream car, I would be like, all right, yeah, I want to make sure it gets here safely. And if you took the extra precautions, because not all drivers do.
I know.
Right? You could pay $1,200 for any number of truckers to do it, and there's one guy that's going to do it better than everybody else.
Yeah,
and you don't know that beforehand when you book it and agree to that amount, as much as you try to do your due diligence. But when they go the extra mile, no pun intended,
standard of how I do things, I show up how they would like to see it presented. My truck and trailer was always polished and clean when you arrive into their neighborhood. You take that extra time. When I say I'm going to be here at 3:15, I show up at 3:15. Those little things extra that you do assure them that you took the time to deliver their dream safely and on time. So they, in the back of their mind, they're thinking, well, yeah, I probably should give him a little more. And 90% of the people that I deliver to do that extra thing for you.
Right.
And it's not expected, but greatly appreciated.
I think if people understood what really goes on in the transport industry, they'd be like, my car didn't fall off your truck and you didn't have it repaired on the side of the road. Here's an extra $200.
There's an extra
like
spray can.
The baseline should be way lower in terms of expectation for transport.
If you would look inside my truck, you would see GPS, iPads, the navigation system built into the truck, and there's a laptop on top of all that, plus your phone. It looks like NASA's driving down the road, but all those things are geared to give me better on-time delivery.
Mm-hmm.
So when I tell them, you know, that right now the traffic control looks like we have an accident 30 miles ahead, so I'm allowing for that time. So that time now is delaying me about 4 hours. Can we adjust for that? Sure, absolutely. Thank you for calling me. The biggest thing I found in transport business is the lack of communication between the driver and client.
Yeah,
there's a big neglect in that part on both ends.
Well, you're starting at a disadvantage because typically there's a broker and or a dispatcher in between. The broker is probably the biggest breakdown, right? At least a dispatcher's job is to communicate what's going on.
Absolutely.
But you don't have a dispatcher. You're communicating directly with clients. Do you work with brokers at all?
Very, very little, unless the client says, hey, this is my broker.
Mm-hmm.
I cringe when I hear that because I do not like to do that. I said, why can't we do this, you and I separately, and just cut out the broker? Oh, I've already paid him. So then I'm forced to go through that broker.
Mm-hmm.
So I take that all into consideration, and the communication has to go from myself to the broker to the client. Sometimes I will skip the broker, go right to the client, and sometimes they're offended. Why didn't you call my broker? Well, I'd rather deal with you one-on-one. You get better communication. So there's not a breakdown in communication.
Right.
So
right.
Those are some of the
small
things.
Most brokers
that we
don't
do
actually care.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my not my customers, but just customers in general will come to me so often and just be like, oh, I found this company online. Great. What's their company name? Oh, yeah, they're a broker.
Yeah.
I can tell because it's ship my car now LLC, right? Okay. That's definitely a broker. If I can't immediately tell by their transport company name, I'll look them up and go, yeah, they're a broker. Like, fine. If you want to use them, great. But they're not going to actually add any value to the equation. They're not doing anything for you. But it is hard. I think the biggest difficulty, that the thing that people come to me all the time, they go, how do I find a good transporter, right? They all recognize what I'm telling them. Find a good trucker, pay a little bit extra. But they all want to know, how do we find Daryl?
Yeah.
Because you're a trucker. You don't necessarily advertise. You may not have a website.
How do we get
out? How do people find you or people like you?
Well, I deliver a lot of very high-end vehicles. So if you're buying a new Porsche or a new Mercedes, those dealers know of me. So if you have a celebrity client, they will call the very best transporter. So I get a lot of calls from different Porsche dealers throughout the country. Say, hey, I've got this country. I've got this guy bought this GT3 RS. Can you schedule him a month out? So I will work with them. That's how those people contact me, through the high-end dealerships. And that's how I basically got started.
So from my experience, though, a lot of dealers are worse than the customers at pinching pennies. They're the ones that are shipping GT3s on an open transport because they want to protect their margin.
Right.
So if I buy a car from a dealer, how do I trust them to recommend a good transporter to me and not just use their cheap guy so they can make a bunch more money on the back end? Or what?
I understand that.
How do you get around that filter?
When I talk to the dealers, and I know that ahead of time, so when they call me with, you know, and I know the price, no, that's not going to work. So when they normally call me, I really don't have to negotiate because they will give me special cars. They will give me special athletes, special entertainers that they do not want their car damaged in the process. So they're not going to put it on an open trailer. They're not going to call Johnny Wheels down the street to get their car to him. They're going to call someone that's in the business for a while, very reputable, has a good reputation. And what I will do, I will send a picture of my unit and my business and some of that information to the customer so they can have a peace of mind. This is what your car is going to be transported in.
Right.
And they can look it up, the history through the dealer. That's the best way to do that.
So people should tell their dealer, one, that they're a celebrity and demand special treatment, and two, they want a picture of the trucker's equipment.
Yeah, you just can't say I'm a celebrity. Hey, I'm pretty big here at Walmart, so I need a good transporter. But what you do is you tell them, if I'm buying this Porsche, if I'm buying this Mercedes, if that was your car, who would you want to transport that? And then they break it down. Well, I've got this guy here, and can you send me? It's as a customer, you say, can I see a picture of their transport? So they can relate, visually of what they're getting to deal with.
Right.
That makes a big difference.
Okay. What if they're not going through a dealer? What if they bought a car private party or off of eBay or whatever? How do people? I don't know the answer to this. People call me all the time. I'm just like, I got a guy.
Yeah.
You know, but realistically, how in the world of the internet where the brokers dominate
everything,
the SEO space,
yeah,
other than finding a big company like Reliable or Intercity or whatever, which is fine. Those companies do good work. But if you want a guy like Daryl that can give you more personal service, because the big companies, while they're really, really good in terms of insurance coverage and having their systems and processes in place and great equipment, and et cetera, they're terrible at communication. All of them. They're all the same.
Well, they're the same thing. They're dealing, like you said, brokers. If you want somebody
that you're going to get that personal service, how do people find somebody
like
you?
Most of my stuff is through word of mouth. And I deal with a lot of high-end cars. So if you're buying, if you're buying a Toyota, whatever, if you're buying a Honda, you're not going to call someone like myself to transport that. Any transporter that the dealer recommends would be sufficient for that Honda, even though that's your prized possession. Let's put it in perspective. It's a Honda. It's not a Ferrari.
You're going to offend people here that drive Hondas and love them.
No offense to anyone, but it's not a Bugatti.
Hondas are holy.
I get that.
Jesus had everybody in one accord or whatever.
Oh, God.
Good one.
Jeez.
I tried.
I'm so sorry.
The delivery wasn't good. No pun intended.
I apologize for who I may have offended.
On that note, yeah. Let's go to a commercial.
Switchcast is brought to you by Celebrity Machines. Celebrity Machines is a proud sponsor of Switchcast. They offer more than 250 different screen-accurate license plates as they appeared in movies and TV shows like Back to the Future, Ghostbusters, The Fast and the Furious, Breaking Bad, and so many more. Celebrity Machines also makes our dealer insert plates, as well as our commemorative 2539 plates from the fastest cannonball run ever. Visit CelebrityMachines.com for more info, and be sure to use promo code SWITCHCAST to save 25.39% at checkout.
Excellent. Again, if you're watching with us live and have questions for the transporter, Daryl, throw them in here. And if you are listening on the audio podcast or any audio podcast platform, we request that you please leave us a review, subscribe, share it with your friends. All of those things help the algorithms. I think I checked lately on Spotify and we have a higher rating than the Joe Rogan podcast.
Wow.
Granted, he has about 8,000 times more reviews than we do. But you can help change that. I'm just going to go on the percentage. I think we're at 4.8 and he's at 4.7 or something like that.
You probably lost a few of that Honda comment. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's all the religious zealots are, they're out. They're no longer watching Switchcast. Anyway, so we appreciate all of you on whatever platform you are choosing to enjoy us on. Bad sentence structure there. Should never end a sentence on a preposition. But again, you're not here for the English. Correct grammar. Yes. Hank is not here with us tonight, but in memoriam of Hank. He ain't dead. He's still around. But in tribute to Hank, we are going to talk about a Corvette listing tonight, and it's not what you think. Right? We rag on Corvette people all the time, but I found this fantastic for sale listing of a Corvette. And spoiler alert, it was not on Marketplace or Craigslist. Wow. That's how you know the person knew how to sell their car. It is a 2011 ZR1 in Inferno Orange with 11,000 miles. It had Caravaggio carbon-backed bucket seats, Lingenfelter Stage 2 kit, a whole bunch of other Caravaggio parts, and carbon fiber stuff. I feel like this is like Gretchen 3.0. It's got the Caravaggio seats. It's a cool color. The only problem is that it's a coupe, and I like my convertibles.
Yeah.
And I'm saving my Corvette money to upgrade either to a C6 RS or a Callaway C16. But not only did this seller never use the term rare, although he did mention factually that it's one of 69 in that color ever, which really actually is kind of rare, but he just mentioned that and moved on. And not once did he use the term investment. He listed out all of the modifications in detail, the ownership history, the maintenance history, and only the factual things that mattered. This was an education to all Corvette people in how to list their cars. And it was also priced right. It wasn't a pie in the sky price. He was asking $105,000 again for an 11,000 mile car in a rare color with some nice modifications. Now, there are some out there you could pick up for probably 90 to 95. But again, I think the color and the right modifications do pull a premium in this case. He could not help himself, though. He did end the listing with, please no lowball offers. It's in every Corvette listing ever, although I think it was nice. He at least asked nicely.
Yeah, that's a nice touch.
Yeah, he couldn't help himself. You can take the man out of the Corvette, but you can't take the Corvette out of the man.
Well said.
Anyway. I'm going to go into the wall of shame segment in a little bit, but let's do the trucker wall of shame. What is the craziest customer, the most diva customer, high maintenance that you've had to deal with? And was it a celebrity or somebody else? Because people always ask me, like, do you deal with a lot of celebrities? And I said, no, they're really difficult to deal with because they're very entitled. Most of our customers are under the radar, just successful business people, doctors, whatever. But yeah, again, they can be just as persnickety as others.
Yeah. I've had professional athletes. The one celebrity who was traded from the Indians, who was, I won't want to say his name, but he was a catcher. You'll probably figure this out.
And he went won't because I know nothing about sports.
And he went to San Francisco to play, and he went injured reserve. But he was the most entitled person in his mind that I've ever seen in my life. I pull up on time to his nice, nice neighborhood, nice home. He comes out with a white umbrella, white sweatsuit on, top to bottom, white shoes, and he had two handlers next to him. So I'm thinking, wow, this is going to be a
difficult. What were they handling? His giant ego?
Probably. That was the only thing I could think of. They were walking, do you need water? No, I'm fine.
Side note, I feel like they should rename handlers for those types of people that don't actually need it. They should rename them fondlers.
Fondlers.
Because they're really just like, oh, yeah, I'm here for
I'm here for you. Yeah, they just want that 2 seconds of fame with them.
Okay.
So
that's, continue.
Continue on this. So as we, I start to unload his beautiful Porsche. Well, it was not that beautiful, but it was a very nice white with the God ugliest blue turquoise interior that I have ever seen. And then he thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Was it like SeaWorld blue?
Oh, it was worse than SeaWorld blue. It was SeaWorld with algae mixed in with it blue. It was terrible. And I'm trying to be nice.
Unclean bottom of the pool blue.
I've cleaned the bottom of the pool. This is your car. Oh, God. But anyway, as I progress, we go down. I pull it out, and he's looking at it, and he's going over the fine-tooth comb. Beautiful, beautiful. That's good. I hate to ask this of you, and I mean, I've just for my own self, can I get a picture with you? I don't do pictures. Well, okay, I can respect that. As we start to talk about the car and show him a little bit more about it, he reconsiders. I can do a picture, but I can't have anybody else in it. There's nobody else here, just me and you. So
he can't have his fondlers in the picture.
So as we take the picture, and he says, don't post this on anything. I have an agent. I said, hey, I'm okay with that. I have an agent too. I didn't want to tell him it was my wife. But it was the most bizarre thing that I have ever seen. But it was, I just had to laugh. His ego was is bigger than my trailer, bigger than the car, probably bigger than his wallet. But that was the most bizarre. As I pulled away after I got everything all strapped away, left him with his car, I'm just thinking, wow, I hope if I ever get successful, I don't turn into one of those people. But holy mackerel. And as I'm leaving his neighborhood, he passes me about 160 as he's going down the road. Jeez, in Fort Lauderdale, if that helps you out with the where he
lives. That's how everybody drives down there.
Oh, yeah, they do.
It is.
But it is crazy.
That's
the most, one of the most bizarre. I mean, I've had funnier ones and some of the nicest ones. I've got stories lined up a mile deep of just some of the most bizarre things that transporters could ever come across. Everyone has to have their car at 5 o'clock so the neighbors can see.
That's so funny.
I get this car. This is my dream car. Look at this. Look at my transporter. Like, oh, dear God, we're on show here. That's some of the
bizarre. Well, you are the only transporter I know that polishes your trailer and waxes your wheels before delivery. So, you know, you play into that.
I'm a type A personality. I make sure that thing is spotless when it rolls up. So it's my own fault. So I shouldn't say anything else about that. But, yeah, I've had some unique experiences.
So that's your wall of shame of the customer that you'd want to review. And so for those of you who don't listen often, the wall of shame is the reverse review where we get to make fun of customers who need a 1-star review on the internet. If that was a thing, I'm sure as a trucker you wish.
Oh yeah,
that could be a thing.
He's at the top of my bottom of the list, if I could say that. and make so any sense of that.
We had one from another dealer who shall remain nameless to protect the guilty or innocent. they had a customer come in looking for a BMW. Ooh. And the deal did not get done because the customer got quoted a ridiculous amount for insurance. The lowest quote was $1,000. The highest quote was $2,400 a month.
Whoa.
Not per year. $2,400 per month.
What kind of car did he buy?
It was just a BMW 5 Series, a used one. he didn't buy anything, but that was what he was wanting to buy.
Yeah,
but
check the agent.
no, this was multi. They shopped it all over.
Oh wow!
The lowest quote they got was $1,000 a month, but there's a reason.
He was younger than
20 years old, had multiple accidents.
Yep, I knew that was coming.
And recently had a massive speeding ticket.
Yeah.
So I think homie needs to buy his grandma's Buick.
That still might be about $800 a month.
So, yeah, but he won't be able to get tickets.
That's true. You can't go fast enough in that old Buick.
Side note, completely unrelated. Somebody inquired this week on a 2022 BMW M3 we had for their kid, but they wanted all-wheel drive and an automatic, you know, for safety.
Oh, for safety.
Right?
Yeah.
So these two scenarios are completely unrelated, but not really. PSA, rich people, you got to stop buying your kids friggin' BMWs and use that money. Take them or send them to an advanced driving school.
Absolutely.
There's a reason kids with BMWs have crazy insurance. It's because you're giving them too much horsepower too soon, and also a side of entitlement.
Yep.
We can't really do anything about the hood rats in stolen Challengers and Infinities, but at least you in the upper 1% can do your part. Please either make your kids earn their money and buy their own car, or get them an old friggin' rusty
bucket
junker.
I agree 100%.
Yes. So. Thank you. So insurance is always a big question for us, right? Most of the truckers we deal with have a $250,000 cap on their cargo insurance, mostly because they all go through Progressive, and that's their maximum.
Absolutely.
So you transport specialized cars. What do you do with that? I mean, the average value of one of the cars you transport is probably that. So how do you do that? What kind of coverage do you have? How do you get around it when you're transporting more high-end
cars?
The way
I get around this, I have an amazing agent that I say, listen, unfortunately, I'm just a few dollars above my cap.
What is your cargo cap?
It's 250.
Okay.
So, and my average car is 500,000.
Sure.
But I don't want to pay $6,000 a month. I'm a little frugal. So what I do is I call my agent and say, listen, we've got to go to either Lords of London on this one. This is a GT40 all carbon. It's a $2.5 million car. Oh, Daryl, God, why do you do this to me? So they will call the insurance company and put a rider onto my policy, and they will hold that. Thank God, because I give them a lot of extra money to do this. So they hold that for me. If there's nothing transpired with that car, there's no dents, no scratches, there's no nothing that comes along, policy mysteriously goes away, and I'm happily driving down the road thinking I can go to McDonald's again today and get food. So instead of, you know, $8 million for insurance. But I mean, if I'm hauling 10 cars, sure, I'm going to go do that. But when I haul one or two cars, it's not feasible for me to do that.
Right.
So I have to be smart enough to go around the system just a little bit.
Right. Yeah. And I've run the numbers on doing a two-car transportation business, and it doesn't necessarily – the math doesn't work great.
No, it
works good if you're doing it yourself.
Right.
Because you can pay yourself a decent salary. But if I was trying to put somebody in a truck, it doesn't math.
No. You just can't.
So
do
you
that.
Have to
– I'm the driver, I'm the broker, I'm the deliverer, I'm the maintenance person. I'm all wrapped into one. So I save money there. And having the smarts to be able to work with an agent is willing to work with me because of my record. I mean, I have 4.5 million miles of safe driving, a 3-time national safe driving champion. So I've got all that in my back pocket. They can trust me.
So have you ever had any accidents?
No.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I've been lucky. Now, I've had one or two speeding tickets, but that doesn't count as an accident. Thank God.
I can go down a whole nother thing over here because of the people and the industry and everybody that says that speeding is the greatest evil. But here's an example of you drive fast.
Yeah.
You have a Porsche Macan out there.
Yeah.
You don't drive the speed limit in that thing.
I
know you don't.
They're made to go a little quicker. So when it's feasible, I will allow it to go a little above and beyond. But the thing
I love how you make yourself out to be the victim here. Like the Porsche is doing, I allowed it.
Those cars are made to be driven is what I've always been told. So that's what you kind of allow it to do. But I look at my years of experience and my knowledge, and I take that all in consideration. So I've been very, very fortunate and a lot of practice. So,
what is the most expensive car transported?
Well, this one, Lords of London had to cover me. There's no way I could get around this. This was a car brought over from England. It was a Dan Gurney race car. It was in Le Mans race, 24 hours, a Jaguar D-Type long nose. He parked the car. They took it to the museum and put it on display. It stayed there from 1955, I think it was, until I picked it up in 2018 out of Atlanta. Emirates brought it over. I unloaded it. Had to be covered. Had to be tarped. No one could see what was in my trailer. And when I transported it up north to the state just north of us here, they followed me with these two black SUVs, one in front, one in back. At all times, I was in communication with these people. They inspected me loading it.
Was this the insurance company or the owners of the car?
Insurance company.
Okay.
Because the museum... Once it left there, they were still responsible until that buyer signed off on that car. So they were liable. So they made sure that I was reputable enough to transport that car. And they watched me every time I stopped. When I went to get fuel, they surrounded my car, my truck. That was a once-in-a-lifetime scary moment. If I wanted to pull over just for a minute, how long are you going to be here? Just a minute. I'll be right back. I got to go in that building for a minute. I'll be right back.
I got to pee, guys.
I didn't want to say that. But yeah, that's what I had to do. But I come out there, and they're standing by the trailer. So, I mean, that's the most bizarre, the most expensive car. And it was deemed priceless, but they put like a $25 million price tag on it.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, I didn't sleep a lot.
No kidding.
Jeez. But that's some of the things that I had the pleasure of being able to deliver and meet the people that buy these type of vehicles. They're special people. They're that 1% that you get to meet. And not all of them are nice, but I'd say about 95% of them are just stand-up people. They really are.
Nuts for Sticks is a proud sponsor of Switchcast, and they are a brand that celebrates the manual transmission in all of its forms. Forget flappy paddles, we like shifting ourselves. Check out our fun and funny stick-themed shirts at nutsforsticks.com and save 10% on your order using the discount code SWITCHCAST. That is nutsforsticks.com and use discount code SWITCHCAST.
Thank you, Ethan. So, Daryl has not seen some of the crazy stuff that we've seen, mostly because he doesn't cut corners.
No.
We have a document that we send out to our customers. We've had to, because some of our customers decide to use brokers, decide to go on the cheap. they are trying to save $100 on their $80,000 car, and that's, well, that's just a bad start. But for loyal listeners, you've heard this before, but Daryl hasn't. We literally have a document, a waiver of liability, so to speak, that we send out to people if they choose to book transport on their own or with a broker. And it's basically more of a warning than anything. But at the bottom, they have to say, basically, yes, I've read all this. I assume all the risk. But what we do is we list out all the horror stories that we've heard that actually happened.
Yeah.
I'll go through a few of them.
Oh, God.
Transport companies. Here's a sampling of what we've seen done by discount transporters. Dropped a car off the back of their truck. That's actually common. We see that on social media all the time. Damaged a car, lied about it, and had it repaired poorly at some side of the road shop. Taken a car they were transporting to the strip club. Jump-started cars, causing irreparable damage. Stolen vehicles that they were supposed to be transporting. Trucks have caught fire with no trucking insurance. Transport companies have falsified insurance documents. Trucking companies have used account and routing numbers on the check used to pay them to create counterfeit checks and drain the account of the payor. Probably the craziest one is they used a truck that they were hauling on a trailer. When their truck broke down, they pulled the truck off and then hauled the load.
You're not making this up.
No, these are real things. God,
I wish I'd known about this. I could use some of this stuff. No.
You could have made a lot more money.
I could have cut more corners for this stuff. But no, when I see that, I just cringe. Because like I've told you before, I've seen trailers with more duct tape than metal. It's sad. I mean, like, you can speak English. I get that so often. And I see the type of vehicles that come in, not only here, but just everywhere. I don't understand why they're allowed to be on the road. How come they haven't been flagged and taken off the road? When I do my due diligence to maintain that, I go over the wheels, the bearings, the seals. I do that religiously to make sure that trailer is working properly. And it bothers me to see stuff like that because I know that's the norm. I'm a little different than that. I mean, I polish my truck before I get here, and I don't care if I come through a rainstorm. I'm out there polishing it, waxing it as I'm driving in. It's just a different way of doing business.
Yeah,
and it's sad to see that.
So, as we're running up against the clock here, tell us why you retired from trucking, because you were good at it and you loved it.
I do, and I did, and I still do love what I did. Back in June, I was diagnosed with stage 4 terminal cancer. One of my clients, whose name is on the building at the cancer center, I reached out to him and said, hey, I'm going through a tough time in my life. And he said, say no more. He put me in contact with the cancer center, put me in contact with the best team. I think that do kings and queens and emperors up in Cleveland. And I've been to be able to be a part of that. And that staff met me the very next morning to get me in. They diagnosed me correctly. They were able to give me my treatments right away. And having a softball-sized tumor in my kidney that metastasized into my lymph nodes throughout my body have now been reduced down to a marble-sized spot in my kidney that I'm not completely cured because it metastasized, but if it wasn't for that client and that special relationship I have with him, he saved my life. And I'm still able to be here. And he says, I've got another 10 years if I want it.
And they told you at the beginning of this, how long did you have?
A year at the most.
And how long ago was that?
That was in September. And now I've pretty much been cleared, and I couldn't be happier. I feel great. I absolutely feel great. And I've been so blessed to have those type of people, those type of clients that I've come across in my life to be able to save my life. I'm very thankful. Very, very thankful. So
how transporting cars saved your life, right? The connections you made because you took care of people and did right by them.
And he calls me at least once a week to check on me. That's the craziest thing. He's in Florida golfing, and he will call and say, "Hey, Daryl, how are you doing today? How do you feel?" "I'm feeling good, Michael. I'm feeling good." And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here right now. The cancer would have taken me. So it doesn't really mean that, you know, transporting, but whatever you do in life, treat people the way you would like to be treated, because you never know. Any time your life might change, well, you might need that person. And honestly, that man saved my life. I couldn't be more blessed. So
there's an old saying that I don't remember where this was from, that it's you, what was it? You don't have to be nice to people on the way up if you're not coming back down.
Yeah.
Like the assumption of most successful and rich people, I shouldn't say that, of most egotistical, successful people. But the problem is we all come back down.
Yeah.
Whether it's from a financial status or from a health status. Nobody lives forever.
No. No one gets out alive.
Right. Steve Jobs died a multi-billionaire.
Yeah.
He didn't come back down in the status sense, but yeah. So, wow, that's awesome. And I, for one, am glad you're still here with us.
Thank you. So, so am I. I love taking in oxygen. It's the best thing in the world.
Yeah. That brings us to the props and flops. If you're watching live and you have questions for Daryl or myself, stick around for the Tip Talk bonus round after the regularly recorded segment here. But that will wrap up after the props and flops. That will wrap up our regular audio portion of it. The props and flops are brought to you by Switch Cars.
And Switch Cars is the enthusiast dealership where we buy, sell, consign, service, and store only cars that we like ourselves. Check out our hand-picked inventory at switchcars.com. And this week, our pick of the week from Switch Cars inventory is...
Daryl, what was your pick out there?
I like the Niki Lauda Formula One. I know it's not his car, but that car just fascinates me. I love that car.
Yeah. Yep. That is very cool. That's right. So it's Niki... I pronounced it Lada in the video, which, you know, I got to give everybody something. My pronunciation is horrible. That car is for sale on our website. It is one of the 9 prop cars from the movie Rush, which I think every car guy has seen. So if you want to own a piece of Ferrari / movie / Formula One history, there you have it. Check out switchcars.com. Our flop of the week is the 2024 Nissan GTR MSRP now starts at $123,000. Which I read that and immediately thought, wait, they're still making these? It's like 2008 they came out as a 2009 model, and I think it was $68,000 was the base MSRP at the time. So they've almost doubled, but the real news is they're still freaking making them. That's a longer run, I think, than the Acura NSX at this point. So there was a stat, maybe Dan Doucette knows this, but the longest single run of a model without being unchanged. I don't remember what it was. It's a good question, because it'd probably be the Toyota Century and or the Citroen, not Citroen. Anyway, Dan Doucette thinks it's Citroen 2CV, but I did read this stat and I forget it. So real useful information there. Our prop of the week, the Southern Classic, which is a excited beer run from Atlanta to Texarkana and back to Atlanta, picking up some Coors in the middle, trying to set the fastest time. That's right. It is an illegal race. The Southern Classic happened this past weekend, but we can talk about it now because it's in the past. There was a team that got a written warning. That's right. They had a traffic stop with the gendarme, and they got a written warning for impeding the flow of traffic. That's right. In an illegal timed speed event, it is now officially on the record that a team was going too slowly.
Wow.
We love that. This is hilarious. Yeah. They're never going to live that one down. Also, shout out to the event organizers that yet another timed endurance driving event went down without a single incident.
Awesome.
Yes, absolutely. Safety first here. Anyway, thank you to my guest tonight, Daryl White. Really appreciate you being on here. Thank you to our sponsors, Boxcast, Nuts for Sticks, Switch Cars, Celebrity Machines, Parallel Printworks, and Stephen Holm Woodworking, and our producer, Ethan Huffnagel. Our bumper music is provided by Emily and Ivory. You can stream their full album on Spotify or SoundCloud. Additionally, you can see them live at Collision Bend Brewery on Friday, March
20-something. Second?
Yes. This episode will be available next Monday in audio format wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next Wednesday at 8 p.m. as we look forward to edifying, educating, and entertaining you on the drive of your life.